All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Friday, April 3rd, 2020 Emergency Board Meeting. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Abram?
Here.
Mrs. Quesenberry?
Here.
Mr. Whitman?
Here.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Here. Would everyone please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic, which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving on to item 2.01, resolution declaring emergency and authorizing expenditures. This is a resolution declaring the emergency and authorizing expenditures, and I'm going to go ahead and read that right now. Whereas on March 9th, 2020, Governor Mike DeWine declared a state of emergency for Ohio in Executive Order 2020-01D, and whereas on March 11th, 2020, the head of the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a global pandemic, and whereas on March 12th, 2020, Governor DeWine announced that all K-12 schools in Ohio will be closed to students for a period of 3 weeks from March 17th, 2020 through April 3rd, 2020, and the closure is expected to extend beyond this date. And whereas Governor DeWine directed that during such closures, schools should work to provide education through alternative means. And whereas on March 30th, 2020, Governor DeWine announced that all K-12 schools in Ohio will be closed to students until at least May 1st, 2020. And whereas the board has adopted policy 6320 purchases, which authorizes approval of certain contracts and purchases, and policy 6423, use of credit cards, which authorizes the use of district credit cards for purchases. And whereas policy 6320 purchases also contains exceptions in the event of an emergency, be it resolved that the Reynoldsburg City School District Board of Education declares an emergency, and be it further resolved that the superintendent and treasurer and their designees are authorized to take emergency measures, make decisions using their best judgment in these unique circumstances, and to expend funds for products and services needed to respond to these emergencies, and to take such actions as are necessary to continue to provide education through alternative means during the period when schools are closed to students up to $50,000. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
So moved.
Moved by Neil Whitman, seconded by Jenny Quesenberry. Superintendent Brown, do you have anything to let us know about this and the reason and the purpose behind this?
As always, whenever something of this nature happens, there are things that pop up on a day-to-day basis that sometimes need to be addressed. This would give us the ability to actually address those things without waiting a number of days, weeks, or a month before a next board meeting. As you guys know, anytime I do anything that's any way, shape, or form interesting, I'm going to share that with you ahead of doing that anyway. So none of those things will be surprises to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Neil Whitman, yes. Would you have any comments or questions?
Thank you. Mr. Superintendent, thank you for the overview there. And I'm wondering, just kind of some examples for district parents or community members out there who might be wondering, well, what are some of these kind of day-to-day things? Could you maybe give some examples?
Sure.
And possibly some that maybe needs that have already arisen that it would have been nice to have this measure in place for?
Well, fortunately, we haven't had anything like this pop up yet that we've had to address, fortunately. But next on our agenda is to approve the acceptable use policy update. We basically scheduled this meeting in order to get that policy adopted. This particular resolution would allow us to have gone ahead and gotten that done, and we could have waited to adopt the policy in April. That's just one example.
One example. Well, I'm glad to hear that, you know, there hasn't been truly, you know, serious things that that you were not able to do because of this meeting. So, or not having this the power. So I appreciate you as always being kind of ahead of the curve, doing your best to be ahead of the curve on these things here. So better to do this.
Okay. Angela Abram, do you have any questions or comments for the superintendent?
I am curious in the sense of what is the length of time that this resolution is in place? Is it until the governor declares it over?
Correct. Right now, I would imagine May 29th or earlier based upon when that guidance comes forward.
Okay. And what other processes or expenditures do you anticipate since you are a person ahead of the curve?
Right now, I don't anticipate any, but I don't know what's going to happen with our food service component, with potential delays in our getting our shipments and things of that nature. And this just gives us capability to adjust to those things.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Board Member Jenny Questenberry, do you have any questions or comments?
Not on this, no.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yes. Okay. Couple more. So it says up to $50,000. Is this up to $50,000 over the duration of the emergency or per individual item of need?
That'd be per individual item of need.
Okay. And is this already made clear in the wording? Because I couldn't tell from the wording, and I don't want differences in interpretation possibly arising later on. So I'm trying to bring it up here.
Well, as you know, in board policy, we already have the ability to approve up to $50,000. That's already been taken care of.
Okay. That's right. And in that case, so what is this doing that's not already there?
I think because of our processes that we typically bring everything to the board to make you aware of it. In this case, it gives us the ability to do something much quicker than doing. You're always going to be in the know. So I don't really see us operating any differently into this than we already have. We're just trying to make sure we're prepared for any type of emergency that pops up.
Okay. And my final question is, I know that you and your fellow superintendents in Central Ohio talked about resolutions like this. My understanding is that some of the initial wording we got from something Hilliard did. Do you or Madam President or any other board members have any just insights on, you know, what other districts are doing, if we're sort of in line with what they're doing or ahead or other things they should be doing we ought to consider too?
I can tell you that Hilliard and Olentangy have already passed it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't speak to any other districts right now.
Okay.
I did contact the Ohio School Boards Association and ask them some similar questions. And from what I understand, there are a handful of other districts, mostly urban, and about the size of ours or larger, that are also doing this as well.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for checking that out. No further questions.
Okay. And I think Superintendent Brown, just to clarify too, that because we are declaring in an emergency, this does waive part of our bidding process under a certain dollar amount as well.
Correct.
Right.
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay. So I appreciate, obviously we're in ever-changing times and you know, we don't, while you're trying to plan for tomorrow and the weeks and months to come, you know, we don't always anticipate exactly what's going to happen. And it is often difficult, even in a virtual environment, to get everyone together. So I think this does give you a little bit more latitude to respond to our students' needs and our staff's needs as quickly as possible. And I appreciate that. All right. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. All right, moving on to item 3.01, acceptable use policy. I'm gonna let Superintendent Brown discuss this because it's obviously way too much to read. So do I have a motion?
What this basically does is—
Can I get a motion real quick?
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Jenny Questenberry, seconded by Neil Whitman. Okay, Superintendent Brown, the floor is yours. Don't you love a delay?
What this basically does, it gives an extension to our already in existence acceptable use policy that allows us to now distribute Chromebooks or other types of devices that kids could use remotely. In this kind of situation, obviously I don't think anybody could have anticipated or planned for this, but it would allow us to distribute those devices to students so they could use them for home use.
Okay. All right, thank you. So once again, I'm gonna start with Neil Whitman if you have any questions or comments.
No.
Okay. Jenny Questenberry, any questions or comments?
Yeah, so the acceptable use policy does have the parent's signature. So that also holds our families responsible for lost or broken items. Is that
right?
My understanding? Okay.
That is correct. And this new policy, when they sign them out, there'll be another signature as well.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Ms. Questenberry?
Yes. The area I noticed on the acceptable use policy talked about ensuring that private computers had up-to-date virus protection.
Mm-hmm.
And so the signature is just verifying that yes, that's what we're, that families are going to accept that piece.
Correct.
Okay. Board Member Abrams, do you have any questions or concerns, comments?
Yes, I did have two questions, I think, with regards to what's the soft number of Chromebooks that you expect to be distributed?
Chris, can you speak to that?
Yeah, sorry, let me mute myself. We're not going to be distributing to 9X because they have those. Where we see our largest distribution be in the probably the first through eight level, as there's also some already in the high school level as well. When we look at those numbers, I know Ben has a pretty good, almost an exact number of how many Chromebooks we have in the district. That's not necessarily indicative of how many are going to be distributed. So, Ben, I know you're still on. Give me that number on what we have. In the
District right now, there's close to 7,000 Chromebooks right now in the district.
Okay. And those are working well, or are there some that are in repair process?
We've got some out for repair right now.
Okay. All righty.
The top number for distribution would be somewhere around 2,500 to 3,000.
Okay. Thank you. 100 to 3,000. And I did read something about a fee, the $25 fee. Was that something that was already paid at the beginning of the school year?
It was not, but we honestly, that's not going to be much of a priority to receive back. We want to obviously get these distributed. We'll worry about that after the fact.
Okay. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Okay. Thank you. Does anybody else have any comments or questions? Okay,
I guess
Ms. Questenberry.
Yep, sorry. I just wanted to verify, this is one computer per family or one computer per student?
What we're going to do in distribution is target families that we know have no access, that will be first, so there's one per household in that case. After that point, we'd look for others who would need them, and then we go one household beyond that level. And then if possible or necessary, then we go to multiple Chromebooks per household, depending on the number of students in the building, in the house.
Thank you.
The whole notion is to make sure there's at least one point of access for every house.
I have a, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so board member Abram?
Do any of the Chromebooks have assistive technology in built in for our children who have special needs?
Those particular students are getting services from their IS, so that's already going to be taken care of on that end.
Okay, thank you.
And I should probably add, there are already some Chromebooks that have been distributed for just that purpose.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, board member.
I had a question, yeah. So some families have less access or no access to internet. And so how are we handling this with the Chromebooks?
You'll see this a little bit in more detail this afternoon when the board packet comes through, but we're in the process of discussing what it would look like to have remote Wi-Fi capability at buildings or in parking lots or even throughout the city. We hope to have a lot of that hashed out by next week, by early next week.
Wow, okay, throughout the city. So does that mean that there needs to be some coordination with the Reynoldsburg City government?
Yes, we've already had that conversation.
Okay, excellent, thank you.
All right, anyone else? I most of my other questions were answered, but Superintendent Brown, if you want to just kind of give us a little overview on how this is being communicated to individual families and students, I think that might have already begun.
So we sent out a message yesterday from me, from central office, to basically say what the overall plan would be. But included in that message would be that each individual school will reach out to its constituents, so they will have a specific process for that school to come in and pick those up starting next week.
Okay. And if a family does not have internet service at this time, is an alternative means, you know, I know we've been doing some paper and pencil, is that still available?
That will still be available.
Okay, great. All right, thank you. Seeing no further questions, Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion passes. So before I just move on to item 4.01, I just want to thank everybody who is actually watching our live stream as well. We are coming to you, most of us, from our homes. I don't know, Tammy, I'm looking at yours. I'm not sure if you're home or in the office today. I know that we are doing this in order to protect our staff as well as our students, everything that we are doing in an abundance of caution as well as we move through this crisis. So I thank, first of all, everyone who's watching for attending. You know, this is, we're learning as we go, and I know that we're going to be doing this when we have our monthly board meeting later on in a couple of weeks as well. And just a shout out, Superintendent Brown, to you and your staff for just an incredible amount of response. Not only, you know, currently and jumping on that, but, you know, looking ahead and planning as well, because I know this is like hitting a moving target, and that's very difficult. So, you know, I appreciate all the hours. You know, I heard Ben the other night, how long he spent there trying to get everything ironed out. So appreciate everything.
Thank you.
Madam President?
Yes, Neil Whitman.
So the reason we are actually able to have this meeting online today, that would be because, when we last met in the socially distanced meeting in person, there was an emergency bill to allow exactly meetings such as this. And that would have been House Bill 197, which addressed this and a lot of other education-related things. It was passed just last week, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right, and I'm glad to see that. I want to thank our legislature for coming together and doing that, and for Governor DeWine and passing it. And And even though I said this last night, I just want to say it again, that he made Mr. Brown's job and everybody else's job not easy, but certainly a lot easier than it could have been. Wondering about, you know, should we cancel the school? Should we do this? Should we do that? Not having to worry about whether Pickerington was doing this or Gahanna was doing that, knowing that everybody has to play by the, you know, the same rules, took a lot of the second guessing out of there. So I appreciate Governor DeWine for, you know, also, you know, stepping on this quickly and for the, you know, for the kids.
Great. Okay, so moving on to motion 4.01, a motion to adjourn. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Neil Whitman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Angela Abram. Madam Treasurer, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Abram?
Aye.
Mrs. Questenberry?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye. Motion is adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Thank you very much. Have a great day.